Well, good morning to you, and happy Father's Day to you as well. I'm glad you're here today, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to be in God's house among such a good church family, and we're glad you're here. And I want to thank especially for this past week, Jason and all the chaperones who went to Youth Week, to Youth Camp, and the great week that they had and the decisions that were made, and we just praise God for that. And I want to thank you for going. This morning, of course, it being Father's Day, I'm going to preach on dads. But you've probably seen this story the past week or two. This photograph that came up of a little baby girl. You remember seeing that, many of you? You know the story behind it? Many of you do. This picture was taken, the little girl, of course, just a few weeks, months old. It was taken at a celebration of her life. And these are Army guys that are holding her. You see the hands there. The little baby is the daughter of a fallen soldier. His name was Chris Harris, and he was serving in Afghanistan. A week after he learned in 2017 that his wife was pregnant, a week after learning that, he was killed in an explosion there serving his country. When his unit returned, the unit gathered the mom and little daughter, little Christine Michelle Harris. They gathered, and in a tribute to him, to Chris, the soldiers gathered around and just held her in their hands. And if you'll notice on her shirt, it says, "My daddy is a hero," and also has his dog tags laying there beside her as well. Well, this morning I want to share, I want to preach, and I want to talk to you about heroes. Matter of fact, everyday heroes. And we're going to look at that for just a moment. A Gallup poll was taken in recent days about heroes, and it was discovered that 51% of young people between the ages of 13 and 17, they could not name a single adult that they would consider a hero or a model that they would model their lives after. Do you remember growing up, did you have heroes? Many of you? Who are your heroes? Who are your heroes? You can answer. George Washington. Okay. That's a good one. Ma'am? Your mother? Okay. Anyone else? You know, he was one of mine too, John Glenn. Anybody else? Mom? Okay. Well, your grandmother? Dad? That's an appropriate one for today, isn't it? You know, I'm sure all of you are just a little hesitant about speaking out in church this morning. It's okay. But our society, I think, has sort of dumbed greatness down. Would you agree with that? I think some evidence of that is the fact that the Arthur Ashe Courage Award, which is given every year by the television station, the sports channel, ESPN. In 2015, the Greatness Award was awarded to Bruce Jenner, not for his Olympic feats, but because of his announcement that he was a woman. A year before that, they awarded the Greatness Award, the Courage Award, to Michael Sam for announcing his sexual orientation. I think we've struggled for a good many years now about who heroes are in the West, in our nation. I think many times we confuse celebrities and athletes with heroes. One Christian author wrote that in many other countries, heroes make history, such as George Washington that was mentioned. But in our country, many times, our heroes make CDs and they make touchdowns. I believe that's tragic. Because the fact is, no matter how old you are, everybody should have a hero. Every one of us needs a hero in our lives. And we need to be a hero for other people as well. We all need heroes. Why? Because heroes are models and mentors for our lives. because they could shape our lives and they build our character. And you know what's one of the top things God looks for and he's trying to build into our lives? It's character. It's character. Heroes inspire us to be more than we are. Heroes challenge us to grow in our lives. And that's why we need to choose heroes carefully. Psalm 16, verse 3 says, "As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones." I'm going to change that. "They are the heroes in whom we delight." And I believe the Bible's spot on right there, you know. Today, what I want us to do is simply look at three qualities that are found in every hero. And dads and grandfathers, don't you love being called a dad? I know I enjoy being called a dad, and now I enjoy being called Papa. I like that, you know. I want to name three qualities. There's many more qualities, but I think for dads, for every one of us, this sermon can apply. But for dads today, you know, let's look at some qualities of what a true hero is all about in God's eyes. The number one thing, the first thing I want to share with you today is that heroes, real heroes, they're going to stand sometimes alone for what is right. We don't become a hero by doing what everybody else does. We become a hero by not doing what everybody does. Real heroes go against the crowd. Real heroes are willing to swim upstream against the flow. We're never going to find a hero, a real hero, doing what everybody else is doing. Let me read to you from 2 Samuel 23, verses 8 through 12. And I'm just going to take a little portion of those verses out to read to us today. These are the names of the mighty men whom David had. Let's change that too. These are the names of the heroes, the real heroes that David had. And then he mentioned three of them, the top three. And I'm going to try to pronounce them, but you know what the good thing is? You won't know if I pronounce them right or not, right? All right. The first one is Josheb, Bathshebeth. A Tachchimite. He was chief of the three. He was the chief hero, okay? Next to him, second, was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, son of Ahohai. He was with David when they defied the Philistines who were gathered there for battle. And the men of Israel withdrew. They ran. He rose and struck down the Philistines until his hand was weary. And his hand clung to his sword. And the Lord brought about a great victory that day. And the men returned after him to strip the slain. And then next to him, the third hero, was Shammah, the son of Agai, the Hamite. Now, if anybody ever had an excuse for not being a hero, did you catch this? It was Eleazar, the second hero, okay? Why? Because his dad was a dodo. Did you catch that? If you had a dad who was a dodo, you wouldn't be a hero either, okay? But really, that's no excuse for not being a hero. Never blame your parents, young people, for your own actions, because you make your own actions. You choose. Now, coming out of this scripture I just read to you, especially about Eleazar, the son of Dodo, man, he evidently was a warrior. It's doubtful that you and I, we're going to have to fight in a war this week with a crowd in here today, okay? But I tell you this, every one of us this coming week, maybe even today, we're going to have to fight all kinds of ethical battles in our lives. And we're going to face moral battles. And we're certainly going to face personal and emotional battles. And for some of us, too, relationship battles. We're going to have to be willing to do the right thing, even if it means standing alone. In Exodus 23, verse 2, God is saying this, "You shall not fall in with the many to do evil." What does that mean? Don't follow the crowd in doing wrong. Don't follow the crowd when they're doing the wrong things. Every week, every one of us in here, we get an opportunity to demonstrate character and to be a hero by not following the crowd in doing wrong. When everybody else is doing something at work, I don't know what they would be doing, but if it's wrong, maybe they're all fudging on the time cards. I don't know. And you don't do that in God's eyes. You're a hero. When everybody at school is doing drugs, or they're getting drunk on the weekends, or bragging about things that they did over the weekend, they're bragging about it on Monday morning, or they're cheating among friends, or they're gossiping, or they're making fun of somebody, and you don't do those things and you're standing alone, God says you're a hero. The fact is, when it comes to standing alone, being alone and doing the right thing when nobody else is doing the right thing, you know, we still have that deep desire down in our hearts to fit in. Every one of us wants to belong, don't we? We want to be accepted. One of Satan's favorite tools in our lives, I believe, is peer pressure. And we hate the thought of the possibility of being rejected by anybody or a group. Well, let me get real personal before we go any further here right quick, okay? How often have we kept silent? At work or at a ball game or with our friends, whoever it may be, somebody starts talking about something that you know is wrong. And we wimped out and we said nothing. Sometimes silence is not golden. It's just plain yelling. If we don't stand for something, we're going to fall for anything. And we live now today in a culture that values tolerance over truth. And especially the truth of God's Word. Suppose you're in a conversation and somebody says, and they ask you what you believe about something. And they come back and say, well, you know, I don't believe there are any absolutes. There are no absolutes. There is no right and wrong. Every lifestyle's okay. Everything that you do is okay. It may be right for you, but it doesn't have to be for me. There's no right or wrong. There are no absolutes. Would we speak up? I could tell you as a pastor, I've been asked several times, many times, do you really believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven? And you know, I like to be liked. But I'll say something like this. You know, I'm betting my life on that. I'm betting my life that that's true. Or a moral issue will come up. Will we change our minds on that, perhaps? Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may discern what is the will of God, what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Psalm 40, verse 4 says, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud or to those who go astray. So when we think about heroes, like heroes in the Bible, I preached on one last week. Noah, for 120 years he preached before they completed the ark. No one bought into it except his family. And praise God, Noah led his family into the ark and was saved. There was Abraham who had to stand alone in an immoral culture. There was Moses who stood alone to challenge the most powerful man in the world at that time, Pharaoh. There was Daniel who stood alone with integrity in the lion's den. And Esther had to stand alone to save her people at the risk of her own life. But what about us? What about you? What about us, dads? It's not the only characteristic, but it's a fundamental characteristic of heroes, that we're willing to do right even when we have to stand alone. Proverbs 2:9 says, through God's Word, we will understand righteousness and justice and equity in every good path. That's our choice that we have to make each and every day. And our choices will dictate how we live and how we love and someday how we die. But it's our choice, and we have to choose. Ephesians 5:15 just basically sums it up. Look carefully then how you walk. Look carefully then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. So heroes stand up, even stand alone when they had to stand alone for what is right. Secondly, real heroes make sacrifices for others. I'm talking mainly to dads. Every dad in here has made a sacrifice or more, haven't we? Heroes will put the needs of others ahead of their own needs. In fact, sometimes they'll put the needs of somebody they don't even know ahead of their own. So how do you become truly great as a hero? Can I share with you what Jesus said? I believe he qualified it this way. Jesus said in Matthew 20:26, whoever wants to be great, you become a servant. That's how he defined heroship, okay? Not a celebrity, but a servant. And a lot of people, we start off as servants, but they end up as celebrities. Have you ever noticed how God's values are many times, the majority of times, they're exact opposite of what the world believes? There are not many people who will actually say, you know, my goal in life, I want to see how many people I can serve rather than how many people I get to serve me. Because today in our society, the more people you have waiting on you, supposedly the more important that you are. So the world says, think of yourself because you deserve it. Get others to serve you and to do your bidding. But that's not what Jesus said. He said to be a hero, to be great, you got to serve other people. And by the way, if somebody died for you, would you want to tell other people about that person if that person died for you? We'd want to do that, wouldn't we? Well, somebody did, and he was the greatest hero of all, the Lord Jesus Christ, because he made the greatest sacrifice. Hebrews 7:27 says this about him. Like the Lord Jesus, he has no need like other high priests, okay, to offer sacrifices daily. He doesn't need to go to the temple and make a sacrifice every day, because he did it once and for all when he offered up himself, the ultimate sacrifice. And I want you to know that to be Christ-like doesn't mean that we have to do the spectacular, okay? You don't have to do the spectacular to be the hero in God's eyes. You just have to be a servant to be a hero in God's eyes. Jesus said it like this in Matthew 10. Whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, because he's a servant, truly I say to you, he's not going to lose his reward one day. I remember one time a fellow who had served in the ministry in his church for many, many years, doing the same thing week after week after week. And he came home one day and told his wife, you know, I've been serving in that position for years and years, and I just feel so used. And his wife said, well, why are you upset about that? Because you're always asking God to use you. And that's exactly what it means to be used by God. You get used up. Your energy gets used up. Your emotions get used up. The Bible says, don't get weary. Don't become weary in doing good. Proverbs 31:89 mentions a very special category where we need to be a hero. Proverbs 31 says, open your mouth, speak up for the mute, for those who can't speak. Speak up for the rights of all who are destitute, who are helpless. Speak up for and defend the rights of the poor and the needy. Have influence. And the purpose of influence is not so we can become famous. The purpose of influence is so we can help other people who have no influence. You say, well, how can I do that? How is that possible? How do you speak up for those who can't speak up for themselves? I think the very first thing we need to do is to be aware of them. They're all around us out there, okay? Let me give you a partial list. How about children? Children can't speak up for themselves. Who's going to be an advocate for them? How about those who are too sick to speak up for themselves, or those who are terminally ill or chronically ill, or those who are too old, the elderly? What about the orphans? What about people who struggle with mental health and mental disabilities? They often can't speak up for themselves. Think about people around you where you could be a hero this week. And let me close this point with this. Is there any area in your life where you're sacrificing to serve other people, somebody else, on a regular basis? Nobody paying you to do it? No reward in it? but you're doing it from the goodness of your heart. One more quality and we'll be through. Real heroes take risk for God. Do you know that God put in every one of us a natural desire to take risk? That's why people gamble, okay? And it's why people, especially guys, like to play games, right? Games of chance. People like sports. We were wired by God to take risk in our lives. But a real hero is not afraid to go out on a limb. You know why? Because that's where the fruit is. Real heroes will defy the odds. Real heroes will risk failure. And they even risk rejection. And they'll risk criticism in order to go after the fruit or the dream, in order to serve others, in order to be who God has called them to be. Why do we not do this? Why are we afraid to take risk? I think one reason is it's uncomfortable, is it not, to take a risk? And then secondly, we're afraid of failing. Can I tell you something about failure? Failure is not fatal. Failure is not final. We're never a failure until we give up. Failure is not as bad as the fear of failure. The fear of failure is worse than failure itself, because when you have the fear of failure, you think about it over and over and over and over. If you fail, you just fail. God had something to say about that. In Proverbs 24:16, God said, "The righteous, they may fail 7 times, but they'll rise again." I like this verse. You know why? Because he's saying here, even good people mess up. Count me in. Even good people fail. Nobody goes through life with an unbroken string of successes. You risk, and sometimes it pays off. You risk, and sometimes it doesn't. But even in the times that it doesn't, you know what I believe about God? I believe God will use even that in our lives. Every part of our story can be used for God's glory, even the parts that we don't want to share, that we don't even want to talk about. But that's the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. So what risk have you known that God has wanted you to take? Maybe to go to a person that you needed to ask forgiveness. Or maybe to go to a person you need to offer forgiveness to. Whatever, a safe life is a wasted life. I wasn't old enough to remember this. When I was born 20 years ago. You believe that, don't you? I was born many years ago. I was 3 years old. We lived in the Sanssouci area of Greenville. And I was 3 years old when my parents and my older brother, we moved to Liberty. And Liberty in the 1950s, man, it was small town USA, sure enough. Okay, I do remember that. My dad had worked for many years at Sullivan Hardware Company here in Greenville. Some of you have been in Greenville a long time, you remember Sullivan Hardware. And Dad had saved and he saved and he saved because he wanted his own hardware store. He had a dream. And finally, a building came open in Liberty. And we packed up and we moved. And we moved to a little house on Highway 93 before you get into Liberty. And I often wonder, why did we move there? Because the railroad tracks, Southern Railroad, had the tracks was about 50 yards in back of the house. And as a 3-year-old, I still remember that train coming by, you know. But there we moved, and he opened up his store, and life was good. Until about 2 to 3 years later, and the man that owned the building, he saw how well Dad was doing with the hardware store, and he came back and demanded that Dad move out. Gave him a month to get everything out. He failed. right around the corner, another building came open. And Dad was able to get the building. And he moved the store. And he continued on until he retired. God can even take failure and make good out of it. God gives us dreams. My dad was a hero because he didn't give up. He continued on. Jesus said this, "I tell you that to everyone who has, more is going to be given, but to one who does not, even what he has will be taken away." What he's saying here, the loser is not the person who took the risk and failed. The loser is the person who never took the risk. Because if what you're doing is ultimately done for the glory of God and is done in faith, you will never, ever be considered a failure. Because the Bible says, love never fails. And your love for God will never fail. So here's the secret of being willing to take risks. To get your eyes off of the problem. To get your eyes focused them on eternity. Because death is not the end. Do you believe that? About five of you believe that. How about the rest of you? Do you believe? This is not the reason I want to go to heaven, but I know this. I'll be rewarded one day for what good I did. I know that this life is not all there is. And I believe this. I believe this life is a test for every one of us in here, where God is testing us to see if we're going to be a hero or not. If we're going to sacrifice for others. If we're going to stand up when it's unpopular, when it's the right thing to do. When we will take a risk for the glory of God, for our own growth, and for the help of other people. So let me just say this final word for all of us. But dads, let's model these character qualities for our children. For our grandchildren, to take risks for other people, to sacrifice for other people, to stand up for other people and for God, to not ever make the fatal mistake of just living for our own comfort only. We were not put on this planet to live just for our comfort. There's more to life than just here and now, and what we do with our life now will determine the rewards that we have for eternity. Even next week when we vote for deacons, we need not only just good leaders, but we need godly men. We need heroes who will stand for God more than anything else and do the right things to lead us. Jesus said, "Whoever will save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, who will be a hero for my sake in the Gospels, you'll save your life, and you'll be a true hero." So let there be no complaining about how hard things are. Don't let there be any excuses about how evil the world has become. Be a man of character. Be a woman of conviction. Stand on the Word of God. Don't worry about what the world thinks. And if you'll do that, you'll save yourself. And by God's grace, you may save your family and many others as well. To God be the glory. Father, I want to thank you for today. And I want to thank you for your Word, that not only does it give us direction and wisdom for everything we need, but God, it's chock full of heroes. And when I read about those heroes, they had warts just like me. They had stuff in their lives that, God, they failed and they sinned. But, God, they had a heart for you and you forgave them and you used them. And you haven't changed a bit. That's just who you are today. Use us, God, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing this final song today, this final hymn, I want to open it up for anyone who, if you haven't made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you today to make that decision. Step across the line. If you do, and if you need a little help, you come down. I'll be standing right here and I can help you with that. God is leading you to join this church. You come and meet me here as well. If you just want to come and pray, it may be somebody you need to pray for today. You come. Let's stand together and we'll sing.